so excited. This is a new episode of From Our Mind to Yours.
Episode 16.
I'm your host, Destiny.
I'm D'Angelo.
And we are back with the next episode of From Our Mind to Yours. Welcome. Enjoy. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully you laugh. Hopefully you love something about this. And let's get into the episode.
Let's do it.
Okay, so today we want to talk about, like, you know how on, whether you call it a spiritual journey or you just call it life, you take in so much information and you're learning it and you feel like you have so much to try and implement into your life. It's just so much information along a certain amount of time that you take in, right? And it feels overwhelming. And I feel like you get to a point where you take in so much and it's time to, okay, you don't, it's not that you need to learn anything anymore. It's time to implement what you've learned.
Actually put in the work.
Yeah. And apply it to your life. And I feel like I've came to that point several times. And now it's time to apply it, right? It's time to see the way this affects your life.
Make the changes.
Yeah. Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah. Well, we've been on this journey for a long time. So we've taken in a lot of information. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot of facts about certain things, and we only see the change when we implement it.
Yeah.
Right? We know all these things.
As for anybody, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly. An over-accumulation of knowledge that's not being utilized as useless knowledge, like we've talked about before. So, yeah, I notice in the little things that I actually implement and change, you see the difference, you feel the difference. Things start to look different in your reality.
I feel like that's where all the so-called magic takes place.
Absolutely.
Not that it's not magic. I'm not like mocking it or anything. It's just when you're looking for like drastic changes in your life, it's not going to come from making these, it sounds silly, but these drastic changes in your life, it's going to come from the simple changes you make on a day-to-day.
Steps.
Yeah, the basic things that you make on a day-to-day and you're actually applying and sticking to every day. It's not these big, grandiose changes that you're making that's going to make a difference. Not that those aren't important. It's just, I think, we overlook, and I know this from experience, anything I'm saying is from experience, the day-to-day things, it's what makes a difference. Because those different habits, those different steps, is what compounds into these huge changes.
Exactly.
That you can't even, like, you couldn't even try and calculate where it's these different changes are going to take you. You can assume from what you've seen other people do, and those are the results that they got. But if you were to actually apply yourself to these changes and follow them and just keep doing them day after day and yeah. see how that compounds and what that results for you, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be something you couldn't have even assumed or thought was going to be your result, because you're going to change as you're going through those habits. You're going to change. The person that you were when you started making those habit changes and I guess there's really no other way to say it, but like changes in your habit. I don't know what else I was looking for, but you're going to notice, like, you're going to change as you're making those habits, and the person you were when you started that change and the person that you were that is receiving the results of that change is a completely different person.
Absolutely.
And you would have never gotten there without just committing to doing it, without assuming, like, okay, this is what I'm going to get out of it. So as I'm doing it, I'm going to be looking out for those results. I'm going to be like hoping that that's what I get. And if I don't get those results that I'm specifically looking out for, it's going to upset me. If you take that completely out of the picture and you just allow yourself to develop along the way, it's going to be something you couldn't have even imagined, because the universe and God, whatever you want to call it, has this like potential for creativity that you can't fathom in your current state of mind.
Yes.
You can only imagine what you currently are able to fathom in your realm of creativity, what you think is possible.
What frequency you reside at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if what the universe or God, whatever you call it, has in store for you and what you are meant to accomplish in this lifetime is further beyond that, you're hindering yourself by trying to control that and think like, okay, this is what's possible for me, so this is all that I'm going to try and work out. Anything outside of that is just crazy. If you were to let go of that cap, that limit you're putting on yourself, there's just so many different things that could happen. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, because it sounds kind of crazy to myself too, but I know it's possible. And I know I'm the reason I'm holding myself back from experiencing more and experiencing different life experiences that I've never encountered before. I know I'm holding myself back because of that exact reason. So,
implementing the change.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we know it doesn't take you anywhere just knowing the information.
No. Like, D'Angelo's, I know this, but he always reminds me, like, just knowing this information is not shit. You can know a lot of things, but he always reminds me, if you're not implementing those things in your life, that knowledge is good for nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Because you're not applying it to your life. You're not using it. So what is it? It's just floating around in your reality. It's not doing anything.
It's just taking up storage in your memory bank.
Yeah. The next topic we're going to talk about is quite vulnerable for me personally. But I like being vulnerable like this because I know for a fact there's other people out there that feel the way that I do with this topic. And I want to talk about, I didn't realize how much I was censoring myself and holding myself back when it came to allowing myself to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
It might not seem like that big of a deal when you hear it just like that, but I wouldn't, even to this day, I've started getting a lot better at it over these past few weeks, but even before that, that's pretty recent. I wouldn't take pictures of myself. My daughter is 4.5 years old. I don't have very many pictures of me and her together because I wouldn't take pictures with me and her together, even though I have been staying at home with her since she was born. So I should have plenty of pictures. I mean, even me and D'Angelo together, we have some. We'll take them here and there, but we don't have very like intimate pictures taken together, just because I've allowed myself to get way too wrapped up in the idea of what people should look like, because I've seen
and what people think you should look like.
Yes, because I was consuming way too much on social media, and it started to shape how I thought people should look like. And I started to realize how unhealthy that was. It's insane how easy it was to get wrapped up in that and to come to the conclusion of what I thought people should look like. But that's not reality. That's not, even beyond that, that's just not what people look like all the time. That's only a small percentage of what people look like. And I've taken the precautions of reducing my time of consuming that, because it's just, it's not healthy. But even so, like, beyond that, like, I just don't want that to be you. When you experience people in real life, you're not experiencing what you see on Instagram. There's no filters. It's all real life in what people look like in real time. And
we're talking about just physical attributes.
Yes.
Because in real life, real time, you said it's no filters and all that stuff, but that's why I asked if it was physical, because people filter themselves in a non-physical way. So I didn't know what you were talking about in general. Okay.
No, yeah. It can be taken both ways, but I was specifically talking about physically the way people look.
Yeah.
But, yeah. People filter themselves in every capacity.
Yeah. Also due to the same thing. Social media.
Yeah. And it's so unhealthy. And I know other people have spoken on these things, but I'm going to keep saying it over and over, because I, just like I said, have firsthand experienced, like, my own filter of what was acceptable and what was beautiful had changed and faltered because of what I was overly consuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
I started to feel like I wasn't beautiful and I wasn't good enough.
Because you didn't because look of like what, this person. Or
exactly.
Like,
yeah. And in reality, those people don't look like that in real life without those filters. Even if they don't have those filters, the different lightings, the angles, all of that plays a factor in their Instagram pictures, in their TikTok pictures and videos, and all of that. It all plays a factor. There are beautiful people. I'm not diminishing that. People are beautiful. Yeah. I'm not saying that. But to just take what you see on your social media and hold that to a certain standard of this is what is acceptable and this is what is beautiful and this is what I need to live up to is so unhealthy.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different variations of what's beautiful and what's healthy, and you can set your own standard. It doesn't have to be what other people are saying it has to be. That's what, like, taking a step back from social media will help you to realize.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you break it down to the very foundation of it, you shouldn't even compare yourself anyways to other people. Like you said, you make your own standard of beauty and what's acceptable and this and that. Instead, you have made that. But it's an accumulation of other people's thoughts and processes and what they look like and what they do, you know?
Right.
You embody that and make it your own.
Yeah.
But it's built up of everybody else.
But I feel like it's very easy to, especially nowadays.
Exactly.
I feel like it's very easy to adopt what other people think is beautiful or acceptable and what's, like, in,
well, yeah,
what's popular.
Exactly, because social presence is big nowadays.
Go ahead. But you know what? I can tell you from personal experience, I'm starting to learn it doesn't matter what other people are doing. and what's popular. Because you can try and imitate and copy that all you want. If that's not you, it's never going to relate. It's never going to feel genuine and like you actually want to be replicating that. You have to put out what genuinely feels like you. And you never know. That could spark something. That could inspire other women to feel like, okay, even if it doesn't spark women to be comfortable just feeling themselves, at the base of it, it can spark what you are putting out there. So some women that relate to what you are putting out there and the way that you are authentically, some women could relate to that and they feel the same way and they are the same way. And they're like, okay, maybe I could put myself out there in that same way. And then you're going to get a little bit of a different spark from that person. It's not going to be the exact same way as I'm putting myself out there. That person, maybe they related to me in a certain way, but they're going to put themselves out there in that same way, but with a different little spark to it. And wouldn't we want that? Wouldn't we want just a little bit of creativity? Wouldn't we want shit to just not be the exact same way all the time? Everybody replicating the same things. I'm getting so tired of seeing the same trendy shit. People just doing it themselves, thinking it's different because you're doing it yourself, but it's the same exact thing. But it's not. The trendy shit is never like substance. I don't care if you can do a dance better than somebody else. How the fuck do you feel on a day to day? How do you feel on a daily basis? Like, what is your mental like? What do you think about? How do you go about your life? Like, what do you implement into your life? How do you like the way you feel so good about yourself? How did you get there? How did you apply the different things that you've learned to get to where you are at? I don't care about the trendy fucking dances that you're doing or the trends where it's like, it's kind of funny. Like, I love to laugh. That's a way to my heart. But I make myself laugh anyways. I make myself laugh. My husband makes me laugh even when I don't. We just vibe like that. So it's like, I really don't need that. So what are you doing in your own personal life?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about? How are you bettering yourself? What laws of the universe are you applying to yourself? What philosophies are you thinking about and like the different ways you're applying that in your life? And what are the results that you've gotten? What do you think about those results? Just deeper shit like that. We need to get deeper.
Yeah.
People need to be starting to have deeper conversations. I'm tired of the bullshit. I'm tired of like meeting people and it's very surface level shit. I'm tired of that. I don't care what you think about the most common shit. I don't care what you think about what's trending. What are you doing in your life? How do you feel about yourself?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I went off on a tangent, but I genuinely feel that way because, because I've tried to make new friends and I'm tired of the same shit. People just are not investing in themselves the same way.
Yeah.
And that's something to talk about. I don't care if people want to be hush-hush about it. It's something to talk about. Like, you need to take care of yourself. You need to care about how other people feel. You need to care about how the way that you feel and what your actions are doing affects other people. I feel like that's important. You should care about that.
To an extent.
Yes, it's not. It's when I say that, it's not to be a people pleaser. I'm saying genuinely just being conscious about what you're doing, what you're expressing, what you're being, what you're putting out there, not to stop how you feel authentically, but just before you say anything, to think about that, how it might affect other people, and how you can go about it to where, if it is affecting the people you care about and you love, how you can go about it to where they would receive it the best way. Not to diminish yourself, not to silence yourself or not say what you're feeling, to try and word it the way that they would receive it the best way. And if you can't, just say how you feel.
Well, yeah, but that...
They're just going to have to... What?
That's where it takes the other person to. Because you're trying to preconceive what they might feel about how you are and what you might say and what you might think.
But that's all you can do. Based off of what you
think that they think. Exactly. So what thinking else can about you do? How they feel and what they feel comes after choosing yourself first. Because it takes them responding to you thinking about yourself first to know whether they're going to think positively or negatively about how you are in the first place.
Yeah. So
you trying to do that before them telling you or getting a response from them can be self-sabotage as well. Because
it can be. It can or be. Cannot be. I know, it could just be you being mindful of how other people might receive it, but still expressing yourself regardless.
Well, yeah.
I think it's important when you care about somebody. I think it is important to be mindful of how you're wording it so that they can receive it in the best way possible. You don't want to just say how you're feeling and not care about how it's being received. You want the person you're telling it to receive it, to actually be able to receive it. That's the whole point. Because if they don't receive it, what's the point of you saying anything? It goes right over their head.
Well, yeah, exactly. But you won't know that until you're in that
situation. If you know the person, you can try to.
You can try to, absolutely. You can absolutely try to.
If you don't know them, of course, like, you don't know how they're going to receive it. You just have to express yourself. And don't, those are the time, that's where discernment comes into play.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how the other person's going to receive it. Yeah. You don't need to worry about that. But when you know the person and you love them and you care for them and you want them to actually receive it, you have to try. I feel like you, it's respectful, not that you have to or you owe it to that person, but it's respectful to try and word it and present it to them in a way that they would receive it the best. So you can try and continue your conversation, try and get them to get what you're saying. You don't have to try and make them feel any kind of way. Just try and get them to understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Getting comfortable with making yourself do things that make you uncomfortable. Except that the nervousness that comes with doing things that you've never done before will never stop. It's a normal reaction to have. It shows you are stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. I haven't been doing a lot of things to specifically step outside my comfort zone. I guess I have a comfort zone, but sometimes I don't know what my comfort zone even looks like. And the reason why I say that is because even when I want to try stuff new that I've never tried before, it doesn't even feel like I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. I just kind of approach it with the mindset of, like, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to do this, I'm gonna learn it, I'm gonna be good at this, whatever, even if I've never done it before. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't feel like I'm outside of my comfort zone. I feel like I'm doing something outside of what I've done before already, out of my zone in general. It's comfort just, zone is not,
yeah,
for me, the vocabulary I put on it, because even trying new things doesn't even really make me feel uncomfortable. I just approach it with, like, success before I even do it. Like, I know I'm going to get this right. Or I'm going to get this. Even if I fail, I'm going to get this. You know?
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's interesting. I like that because it feels like there's like almost no doubt in yourself.
That's how I feel. Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that because that's not, I can learn a lot from that because that's not my go-to and my instinct and just what I feel when trying something new.
Yeah.
I feel very intimidated. I feel very small
mm-hmm.
when I'm trying something new. I'm sure people can relate to that too, but I don't think there's anything wrong with feeling that way.
No.
I think the power comes in when you continue to pursue it anyways. Even if you feel the way that I was explaining that I feel yeah. when trying something new. I think the key point is to when you have that urge and when you have the inkling and you kind of want to try something new, to try it even when it feels kind of hard and yeah. it feels different and you're like, you're fresh in it. You don't really know what you're doing, but people around you know what they're doing. It can be a little intimidating, but you just never know your potential. You never know what you're going to be good at until you try it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
not only try it, consistently try it. Because you're most of the time, some people are amazing right off the bat. But most of the time, you're not going to be that great. You might be like not terrible. You might have caught on to something. Yeah, yeah. And it makes it seem like, okay, I might not be that bad at it, but you're not going to be great off the rip. But yeah. like continuing to foster that and grow it to see maybe where you could be, is that's the only way you're going to know if you're good at something exactly. or not. Well, You'll never know if you don't actually try a few different times, not just one or two times.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or you can kind of going how I was telling you, there's unwavering, like not broken.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't go anywhere no matter what.
Unwavering confidence in myself.
Yeah.
That I'm going to be great at everything, even the things I've never tried. And like I said, even if I fail the first time doing it, even if it's not as good, as great,
trying as what it you've the first seen. Time.
Mm-hmm. I will tell myself from the beginning to end, mm-hmm. when I start it the first time and I end the last time I'll be doing it, that I'm going to be great at it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, first time's great, even if it sucks. Last time's great, even when it starts getting great, you know?
Yeah.
But everything is great from beginning to end. That's part of the journey.
And I love that. I'm learning that from D'Angelo every single day. I love that about him. He doesn't have the lack of confidence that I do. Like, when it comes to trying new things, he's not doubting himself. I doubt myself. Like, as much as you could possibly doubt yourself, I doubt myself. And D'Angelo is like, he knows he's gonna get it. He's like, even if it's not amazing the first time, he's going to keep. I know
that she's going to get
it. He does. And he pushes me. And I just, I can have a whole episode on how much I love D'Angelo and the way he supports me and how amazing of a partner and a husband he is. Because what y'all don't know is what y'all don't know. You don't have a husband like me. I'm just going to say it like that. You don't. I know most of y'all don't have a husband like me. But anyways, I'm working on believing in myself the way D'Angelo believes in himself. And I think we could
in
all.
The way D'Angelo believes in you. Believe in yourself does. The way D'Angelo believes
he
in
sees,
myself.
what I don't see in myself, and he helps foster that growth. And what we can all take out of a page of D'Angelo's book is it doesn't matter what it looks like, just believe in yourself.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter if you're not doing the most amazing job.
And it doesn't matter you're gonna get there. Think it looks like.
No, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Just keep the vision of what you know you can do. Because if you have an idea of what you know intrinsically, you know this is what you are capable of, that's because there's a version of you that can actually do that. And so you presently are a version of yourself that is in the midst of doing the practice, getting like fine tuning everything to get to that point of that version of yourself that actually does apply what exactly you're saying and does exactly what you know you can do and accomplishes those things. Yeah. And is successful. It doesn't, you can't skip any steps. Yeah. To get to that point, you have to go in order. You have to do the things that version of yourself is accomplishing. Yeah. You have to learn and go through, like I said, all of the steps. You have to embody that version of yourself and be that version of yourself. It doesn't just mean to be able to accept the success. You have to be that version of yourself that has done those things to be able to do what you needed to do to accomplish that success that you are dreaming of.
Yeah. The key is self-confidence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's how you accomplish that feeling there. I mean, I guess a good like live example I could use before I even touched a bow and an arrow, I knew I was going to be great at it. Before I even touched it, there was no doubt that I was going to be bad at it. There was no doubt that I wasn't going to hit the targets that I wanted to hit. Opened it the first day, shot it. Okay, knew I had to tune certain things on the bow. Had to fix the sight, fix the holder that actually holds the bow, fix the D-ring on the back. As soon as I fixed all those things without a single doubt in my mind, shots soon after became pinpoint, 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 you know. I never once thought like, damn, what if I suck? Or, man, what if I can't hit the target? Or, ooh, there's so many people that are probably way better than me at this. Not a single one of those thoughts came to my head.
And that's so frustrating because, like, I know there's people out there that feel the way I do. I'm married to this man. I am the complete opposite of him. I am the person that I see what I want to do, but I'm like, okay, you're doing this wrong. You need to fix this. You need to do that. You need to do that to, like, be better. And it's just, it was so annoying and frustrating at first, but at this, I matured and I was able to understand, okay, obviously the way I was thinking about it is not helping me. Maybe I need to take a page out of D'Angelo's book and like believe in myself. Like, okay, what if I were to go into learning something new as if, okay, I can actually do this. It might be something new that I'm learning, but I'm capable of learning this and applying it and doing it well. Yeah. Instead of looking at it like, it's something new. Oh my God, okay, it's going to be hard. I need to apply this to my life. Why wouldn't you just look at it like, okay, this is what I need to apply. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it well.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's a good example of being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
You have to when it comes to accomplishing the things you want to in your life, you have to be uncomfortable. It's inevitable. People say that like you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and like sugarcoat. It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. What's fun is applying that shit and actually doing it, and then seeing the result of what the result you wanted to get. That's the fun part. Yeah. The fun part is not applying the shit that you know you need to apply and that is new and foreign and different for you. That's not the fun part. But if you do that and you apply it to your life and you actually stick with it, you get to experience the fun part, the result of what you wanted.
The fun part is the growth.
Sometimes.
Well, sorry.
No, it is. Growth is
always fun because growth comes with a lot of...
I think it starts to become fun.
Well, yeah. The mental reconditioning is what becomes fun because you're already conditioned one way. You have to recondition your mind a different way.
But I feel like in the beginning, it's not fun.
That's
in
what
the
I'm
beginning,
saying.
It's very hard to, like, you're trying to resist it, but you know it's good for you.
Well, yeah, because your subconscious is trying to operate at what it knows you've downloaded into it, which is the self-doubt, which is the lack of confidence, which is the I'm not as good as everybody else, so why would I be good at this? You know what I mean? The reconditioning is the part that's not fun, the part that's uncomfortable, the part that's foreign. But you implement that so much into your mind that the subconscious deletes whatever it said about itself, whatever it had you thinking about yourself that whole time, and what was attached to that self-doubt, that, you know, lack of confidence. And you build it with confidence, unwavering
faith in yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the mental reconditioning and growth. After you've done that part and implemented the work and done the work for so long that your mind, your reality, your body, everything has no choice but to operate at what's new in your mind and what you've downloaded so far. Because self-confidence has always been something for me, but not to the extent of what I have it at now.
Right.
The utmost confidence in myself was weaker before, but now it's so strong that... I don't even remember
what it was like.
What it was like before and how I thought in a lack mindset of those certain things, because that's been way conditioned out of my subconscious for
a long
time. But I
feel like that's beautiful because it's an example. It's proof to other people
that it's achievable and that it works.
Because I feel like to some people, like, they hear what you're saying. It's easy to hear what other people are saying works for them, but knowing other people that came from that same type of experience were able to work themselves out of what that person is currently experiencing and experiencing something better, experiencing what they want to experience. I feel like that is such a great example for other people to learn from. It gives them hope. Because where there's hope, people will keep fighting. They'll keep trying. If there's no hope, people are not going to try. They're not. What are they trying for?
Exactly.
But when other people see someone that has came from that same type of experience, they see the tools and the ways you've applied yourself, they see that it actually works. It's something for them to look forward to. They can actually apply it to themselves. It's not like just seeing a rich person and like, I came from the struggle. Like, I want to be rich too. It's different. You see someone that came from a struggle as well, and they've applied themselves. You learn things that are applicable to your life that you can actually use to change your life and turn your life around and project it into a much better position for yourself.
Yeah, because they've rid themselves of self-doubt and all those negative emotions about themselves that will keep them back.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you guys all for listening. We deeply, deeply, deeply appreciate anybody that participates and supports in our podcast, whether you're on YouTube or on Apple Podcasts. We love you. We appreciate you. And we hope you all the best on your journey.
Yes.
And hopefully we catch you guys in the very next episode. Thank you very much, and we'll see you guys next time.
We out.